It is Tuesday, August the 28th, 2012. I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Growick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And somebody we've been following for a very long time had just recently left the business and got a big life change planned here, where she's no longer involved in wrestling, but we got a chance to talk to her before she kind of closes the final chapter to her wrestling career. You may remember her from Shimmer and Ring of Honor. I want to give you tonight the lovely Lacey. How you doing tonight, Lacey?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. And as we say, we've been following your career for quite a while, of course, with Ring of Honor and Shimmer. And then in 2008, it's been reported that you were leaving the business altogether and was going back to school and finished your training. Can you kind of give us some information about your training and what your big life change is going to entail?
Well, so I decided to go back to school and get my master's degree in acupuncture and oriental medicine. So I did that back in 2009, and I've wrestled like just a couple times since then, pretty much. But just recently graduated on August 11th with my master's. And then a week from today, on September 4th, I'm leaving to move to China for 3 years to do my PhD in acupuncture there.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your master's degree.
Thank you.
What are you expecting kind of with the move to China? Obviously, not only, you know, you finish your training, but the change in culture, the change in people. What are you kind of expecting in the next couple of years in your life?
Well, I really don't know. All kinds of people are asking me all kinds of questions. When do you start school? What kind of classes are you taking? What is this about? I have no idea. Basically, I have a one-way ticket, and I'm going to get picked up at the airport by somebody from my school, and I know that I have to register for school the next day, and that's about all I know. So, but I have been there before. I went last year for a trip, so I'm going to be staying in the same area and going to the same school, and there's some people there that I know that I met when I was there, so it'll be familiar surroundings, but as far as, I mean, really what my program's going to entail, I have no idea. But my focus that I want to study on is stroke treatment. The particular hospital that I'm going to there is kind of famous for their stroke protocol and treatment. And it's they've integrated hospitals with Eastern and Western medicine and acupuncture. And well, all of their modalities that they use are utilized along with all kinds of treatments that you would see over here, just regular physical therapy and Western medicine. But the results that they can get combining that with acupuncture is really just amazing. So I'm really excited to go kind of focus my studies in that area. And that's about sort of detailed as I really know about it right now.
Well, how much Chinese do you know?
Very little, EPR. but I'm planning to learn, hopefully, my plan is to be fluent by the time my program is done in 3 years. I don't think it should be, I mean, it's a really hard language, don't get me wrong. It's very frustrating. But I think being surrounded by it. And I mean, the first time I went, everyone said, oh, people speak English all the time over there. You'll be fine. Yeah, no, not exactly where I was. That wasn't really the case. I mean, we did find people and we did have interpreters with us some of the time. But I mean, you're going to the store and they don't, you go to the restaurant, and I'm a vegetarian too, which is kind of interesting because you would think that they understand that concept, but they don't. They have tofu, but they make it with fish sauce and all kinds of dead animals. So it was interesting. It was a challenge, but I think after 3 years I can get it down. Maybe not the reading and writing, but the speaking. Reading and writing is a whole other ballgame.
Now, do you have any fears going, obviously you live in America Republic, do you have any fears in terms of going to a communist country who's been known to be somewhat brutal, I guess, to their people? Is that a fear of yours at all?
I'm really excited. I'm not a big, giant fan of this country. I'm sure it's going to offend all kinds of people, but I don't want to live in this country the rest of my life. I would really like to live somewhere in Europe someday. But I mean, it's very interesting to me to travel. I've been able to do some traveling thanks to wrestling, and that's been amazing to be able to see other countries and other cultures and societies and how they all work. And I'm just not a big, I'm not a subscriber to America's number one, we're the best. I just don't think that's true at all. And we need to look at other people and learn from other cultures and respect everybody's differences. And so, but I'm definitely going to kind of keep my head low, you know, or I'm going to try to get around the firewall so I can still check my Facebook and stay in touch with friends. And, you know, it's probably my big complaint about China. I can't get on Facebook. What's with that? I'm going to talk to my friends. It's sad.
I was just going to say, do they have any internet connection? Do they allow you to get on the internet over there at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very slow, and there's certain websites that are restricted. And but you can, there's people have ways to get around that. And but, I mean, I figure I'm going to be pretty busy, so I'm not gonna be on the Twitter or on the Facebook quite as much, I'd imagine.
Well, we'll miss you, but I'm sure you'll post updates from time to time, let us know what's going on. And of course, you're on Twitter and Facebook, which we'll talk about at the end of the interview to give a chance to plug those for your fan base out there to follow along, you know, during the next 3 years that you'll be in China. I guess real quickly, going back to 2008 when you left wrestling, obviously you had started your college training. And what was kind of the final straw, or what was the decision to maybe totally leave wrestling and then focus on other areas of training?
Well, it was something kind of a long time coming. It's something I've been talking about for a long time, quitting wrestling. And as you may notice, all kinds of wrestlers all the time say they're quitting, and nobody really ever does. They're always coming back. Everybody's always coming back. One more time, just one more time. It's kind of like a drug. It's really hard to leave when it is your life, and you put so much time and energy into it, and you would like to get, you know, something back out of that. But I guess I really felt that I did. I never intended to make wrestling a career. It was just, I was 16 and I was like, I want to do that. It'd be fun, right? And then I ended up just traveling, and I ended up being able to actually make a living at it for a while. So that was really great. But there's also a lot of things about wrestling that I really am not a big fan of. It's not something, not really the way I want to spend the rest of my life. And I had a lot of things going on in my personal life. I was in 2001, I believe, or 2002, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And so that's an autoimmune condition. And I was really quite crippled from it. My joints, every single joint in my body, like fingers, toes, ankles, knees, elbows, everything, would swell up. I mean, I couldn't really hold a normal toothbrush. I couldn't button my own buttons, things like that. And so finally, eventually, I did get on a medication that was great for it, except for it wipes out your whole entire immune system. So God forbid you get sick. Oh, by the way, it's also $1,500 a month. So it was a bit of a struggle, and I got to a place where I was just really sick of my options and sick of the health care that I was getting and the answers that I was getting. And I just, you know, they don't know that much about autoimmune conditions in general, but I was really curious. I wanted to know why my body all of a sudden was deciding to attack itself. It didn't. I have no family history of the disease. It was just a very spontaneous onset, and nobody really knows anything about it. So I just started asking more and more questions, and my Western doctors just couldn't really give me answers that would satisfy me, and they just basically say, shut up and take your drugs. Like, this is your life now. Get used to it. And I just wasn't happy with that. So I started exploring all kinds of alternative medicine. I saw naturopathic doctors, started getting acupuncture, taking Chinese herbs. And it's been over 3 years now. I've not been on any medication, and I have practically zero symptoms. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's no way they could diagnose me with that disease today. I have none of the symptoms anymore. So as far as I'm concerned, I cured myself from an incurable disease. And I fell in love with it. It was really amazing and interesting to me. And the first time that I went in and talked to these healthcare practitioners that actually listened to me and gave me hope that there was something I could do myself and not just rely on this $1,500 drug, just rely on that for the rest of my life. They gave me hope. And I mean, I cried, so I was so happy, because I'm like, nobody's actually made me feel hope before, that there's something I can about this. And through that, I mean, now after being in school, acupuncture and Eastern medicine is a wonderful way of helping the body to heal itself. It has so many benefits in so many areas. And I really want to do something good in my life. And I want to bring that for other people and help other people to feel better.
And we seem like, you know, in the United States, if you go to the doctor, you're going to get a prescription for something. It's just, you know, you go for, you know, they find you get cholesterol or high blood pressure, you're going to be on medication, and you're going to be on medication pretty much the rest of your life to a larger degree. Some people can get off, some people can wean themselves off, but it just seems like it's, you know, MDs kind of rule medicine in the United States, and that if you go to the doctor, they're probably going to give you a prescription for something. And it's, I think a lot of the times it's just deficiencies like in minerals and vitamins that people don't. I mean, your body just needs essential fatty acids and minerals, and when you don't give your body those particular, you know, vitamins or minerals, your body breaks down. I mean, an example would be like scurvy. I mean, it's just deficiency in vitamin C. And yet you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a prescription for it, but it's not going to cure your vitamin C deficiency to a larger degree. So that's just, I think some people don't think about it. Just, you know, we just think you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a pill for something and you're going to feel better. When that's not always the answer to everything. You know, there's so much more to medicine than just a pill.
There is. So. And there's so much, I mean, and it's difficult. There's so much information out there when you're getting into vitamins and nutrition and all of that. There are so many differing opinions out there, and there's so much information that is put out there by giant corporations that we really want to sell milk, so we're going to tell you how great milk is for you and how you need to be getting it for your calcium. There's no other good source of calcium. Are you crazy? Drink milk, eat cheese. And I'm not, I do eat dairy, not a lot, but, you know, now all of a sudden we can't have raw milk because human beings haven't been drinking that forever. We didn't go extinct, so I'm not quite sure why such a huge problem. If somebody would like to purchase raw milk, can you just let them? Why is that contraband? I'm not sure. But, and now, I mean, and they're making synthetic marijuana for people because they realize it's good for people, but that's a whole big conspiracy. We can't let people smoke a plant. That's evil, evil, evil. But put it in pill form, it'll all be okay.
Yeah, drink that homogenized stuff where they put all kinds of stuff into it and cook it and put it in a bottle and say, drink it. Good for you, healthy. rather than, like you said, the raw milk, which has been used for years and years and is pure and healthy and doesn't have all the chemicals and things they put into it.
Right.
It's America nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. And there are risks, of course, which is why people are concerned about it. But if you're informed of those risks and you know the decision you're making, I don't see the problem with it. I mean, we can smoke cigarettes and we can drink booze. That's all perfectly legal. But they're some of the worst poisons in the world. Raw milk. I mean, come on. I don't know. Anyway, that's a tangent. That's a whole different tangent having nothing to do with wrestling whatsoever.
That's okay. People have listened to my recent podcast know sometimes we go in all different directions, so that's quite okay. we've covered a lot of conspiracies before on the show, so that's quite okay.
Oh, good. I'm a big, huge conspiracy person. Big fan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Jesse Ventura is my favorite human being ever.
Well, I was just going to ask you about him because obviously he was the governor of your state for 4 years.
Yes, amazing. It was a great time to be Minnesotan.
And, of course, he's I know he filmed the latest edition of the Conspiracy Theory show for True TV, and yet they're sitting on the episodes. And I don't know what the topics are, although I've heard leaked was one of the stories on the TSA, how the TSA has just kind of taken over. And
yeah.
And, you know, they're groping us, and they're groping their grannies, and they're taking the philosophy bags off old people and harassing young children. So that might be one of the areas. Now, I don't know if you probably heard the one episode on the FEMA camps got totally erased, that the government is setting up FEMA camps.
Oh, yes. I did see it.
And they aired it one time, and the government, the Homeland Security, made them take it off. Because, you know, when anything runs on cable, they show it, you know, several times, but they had one area of that show, and then they took it off, and then people that had it on their DVR, they got erased off their DVRs.
Wow.
So they didn't want people to see that at all. Yeah.
See, I love Jesse. I mean, I love him. I've read a ton of his books, but that show I was not really a big fan of, unfortunately. I mean, I think he's a very intelligent person, and he can speak on these topics really intelligently without getting, you know, all Jesse the Body on everyone, because then he becomes this crazy pro wrestler and it's easy for people to write him off. And this TV show, he looks for TV, it was all dramatic, and Jesse has to get upset because I'm a Navy SEAL, god damn it, they won't let me in here. Well, just cool your jets a little bit and tell people, you know, the facts about this, because when you talk about what you know, like, you make sense and you're right. But when you get all crazy, then people just think you're crazy. I don't think he's crazy, though. He's amazing.
What's like one of your all-time favorite conspiracies? What's one you like to debate or pick around?
Well, my all-time favorite conspiracy probably would have to do with the reptilians from the fourth dimension actually running our entire existence. But that's a whole can of worms. I did like the show on HARP that Ventura did. That was very interesting, controlling the weather and all that.
And what's your theory on 9/11?
Oh, God. well, touchy subject again. But I totally believe, I mean, I just, I'm, our government's so corrupt. I don't even think for one second that our government was not involved. I don't know. Just ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous. I want to leave the country, moving to China, away from the ridiculousness.
I went from one corruption to another corruption.
Well, this is true, but it's a whole new one, see? So it'll be all shiny and new, and it won't be so miserable at first. And see, I'm not actually a Chinese citizen either, so then I don't necessarily have to. I don't have to live there forever.
You can see the products that get sent over here that say made in China all the time. See?
Right, I know. And it's sad that there's a lot of things that they'll make in China, but then they can't even get them there. So I have to be, hey, Mom, mail me a box of stuff made in China, but they don't sell it here.
Well, since we're just going into, you know, all different kinds of areas here, what's your opinion of the killing of Osama bin Laden?
I really honestly have no opinion on that. I kind of just don't care. I don't know. At some point now I'm just kind of, I'm too old to fight with such anger anymore and have all these strong opinions on it. But I was in China when that happened. It was really funny. I found out about it from a really tall Chinese taxi driver. He was hilarious. He was so excited to meet us because we were from America. And he was very excited. And then he was trying to tell us about Osama, and we couldn't really understand. And finally, he was looking for the newspaper, but he couldn't find it in the newspaper. So he starts making hand signals like a gun. He's like, Osama bin Laden, bang, bang. And we're like getting all clapping his hands. And we're like, oh, he must be dead. Okay, cool. So that's how I found out.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Yay, make one run. Okay.
Well, I'd say we've done a lot of interviews, you know, with conspiracy. I don't know if you know Brian Kendrick at all.
Oh, yes.
I see. He's like the king of conspiracy. So we did like a half a wrestling interview with him, talking wrestling, and half of them with conspiracies. And Jesse Neal, who was in TNA for a while and just got back from the military, we did a show with him about what's really going on overseas, what's really going on in Afghanistan, what's really going on in Iraq. Not what they're telling you on television, that's for sure.
Oh, interesting. Actually, maybe there are some good things in wrestling, so I should maybe pay attention to some stuff.
Yeah, maybe things are changing a little bit. That, you know, I know when I talked to Brian, he's like, well, I'll do a wrestling interview, but can we talk about conspiracies too? I'm like, okay, sure.
Oh, of course, you would say that. That's awesome.
Let's go back a little bit with wrestling. And obviously, you were there with Ring of Honor Wrestling. And, of course, a couple of years ago, they got on the Sinclair Network, and that was kind of a big deal. The press releases, and they did the conference call to announce it. What's your opinion of the new show on Sinclair, and what do you think Ring of Honor really needs to do to kind of click with everyday wrestling fans? I think Ring of Honor has maintained a kind of an underground following for a very long time. In fact, those that were loyal to Ring of Honor when they just made DVDs, there was a lot of, you know, Ring of Honor DVD collectors that would go to different shows and see the shows. But what do you think Ring of Honor really needs to do to kind of connect with the everyday wrestling fan and wrestling today?
Well, to tell you, I mean, I have no idea about anything that is going on with Ring of Honor these days. Really at all. I did actually watch the TV show for like 5 minutes because I was flipping channels. I only get like 7 channels at my house. But it was on, I guess, and I saw Jimmy Jacobs. I got all excited and texted him about it, and then I quit watching. So I don't really know anything about it. But, you know, I think, honestly, a lot of problems with wrestling, it's really not about the product. It's about what's going on behind the scenes in the office, the people running things. And that, if that shit doesn't change, then it's never going to change. I mean, how hard is it to get a ring truck and wrap a ring truck with a, you know, big, like, look at Vince, look at WWE. Every time there's a big ring truck and, oh, look, WWE's in town. What do you know? Like, it's a giant moving billboard. And you tell people and you say, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea, a good investment to do this for our company? And they blow you off and they tell you it's not worth it. And it's, you know, just one small example. There's all kinds of examples. But, and I honestly, I don't even really know who's, like, running Ring of Honor right now. So I'm not trying to say that about anybody that's there because I don't know anything about it right now. But when I was there, that was a lot of problem was really what was going on with people running things and dealing with the money aspect. And I mean, all the workers are going to go out there and they're going to, you know, do what they do. And that's not going to change regardless. And it's, they just get burned out and somebody's always there to work for a little bit less money than you will. So, you know, you're always worried about losing your spot. And it's just, I'm sure, stuff you've all heard before. And
That's
what I would say. Get new people to this. That's my advice.
No, there's no politics in wrestling, is there?
No.
I want to ask you, kind of one of the things that's newer in wrestling today is the internet pay-per-views where people, like a promotion can stream a pay-per-view over internet and charge $5, $10 for people to watch it. And I know a company you've also worked for is Shimmer, who predominantly has DVDs. That's their fan base, is they buy the DVDs. And I was just was kind of thinking maybe, you know, somewhere down the line, maybe Shimmer could go to internet pay-per-view. What's your thoughts on that? Is like kind of changing their business model a little bit?
Well, I guess I'm not really sure how tied in they are with, I mean, because now there's this Shine Wrestling, and I know that it's a separate thing, but that's kind of, you know, that's the same market then. So I don't know how much, you know, Shimmer is doing what it does. And then this Shine company in Florida is doing the iPay-per-view thing, you know, and it's a lot of the same girls. So I'm not sure how much sense that would make right now at this point in time. And I know Dave is pretty stuck in his ways of how he wants to do things. So, and it seems like it's working out, and there's always 500 girls on the show. So I guess it's working out well.
I believe they're Shimmer 50 now. So they've done several.
Wow.
Pages, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, I've known Dave since practically when I started wrestling, and all he ever wanted to do was run a wrestling company, and yay for him. I'm happy.
Absolutely. Well, with you leaving wrestling now, what do you miss most about wrestling?
Well, I guess I miss my friends. And I miss, you know, getting to travel, but the traveling, it's great. But of course, then you're there and you wrestle and you don't really actually get to do anything. You know, I was in France and I got to see the Eiffel Tower as I flew over it. You know, you're driving and doing your show. So it's still nice to be able to go places. And I obviously met some of my best friends in wrestling and with Rain and Jenna and, you know, they're people that I will keep in touch with for the rest of my life that I absolutely love and adore. So that would probably be, you know, what I miss, though, is getting the chance to see them every few months, you know, at Shimmer and all that. We had so much fun all the time. So it's sad. I miss it, but life moves on.
What did you think of Reigns' run in TNA as Peyton Banks?
Well, again, I didn't really see any of it. kind of bad at watching wrestling. Yeah, I don't really know, but I don't think, you know, she got to wrestle very much, which is just kind of a bummer. I know for a while I was thinking that they had, you know, the best thing going for women's wrestling. They had a lot of good girls there, and they had matches and gave them time. And I don't watch it now, but what I hear is that that's kind of not happening anymore. And I know Rain didn't really get to do much there, I don't think, besides manage and get involved a couple times with Tracy and all that. But, you know, it would have been nice if she could have actually wrestled and do what she does best. But
I think I know the answer to this one, but what do you miss least about wrestling? Just the politics of
industry? Oh, God. I can't. We do not have enough time left before I move to China for me to tell you all the things that I hate about wrestling. A week is not enough time for me to get into it. I mean, I guess, to sum it up, probably in politics. I mean, I suppose so. It's a lot of corruption, but I mean, that's life. It just sometimes it seems like there's a higher concentration of those people in this carny business.
That's pretty, people complain about politics and wrestling, but I mean, probably in any job you're into anymore, there's going to be some politics to a large degree. Is it wrestling, is it that much more, or is it kind of overblown, or what's your opinion of that?
Well, I mean, I guess, I think there is a higher concentration of these, I don't know, a certain kind of person, I guess. Maybe like showbiz or fans. I'm not in that scene, so I guess I don't know how that is, but you know, it's people that are kind of out for themselves.
Well, I tell you, I've talked to a lot of people that are no longer in TNA, no longer in WWE, no longer in Ring of Honor, and I'll say, what do you think of the product? What do you think of, you know, what WWE is doing? What do you think TNA is doing? I don't watch it. It's just, it's amazing to me, and I have a lot of friends that, you know, back in the 90s, we wouldn't miss a show. We missed, you know, there was WCW and ECW and WWE. I mean, like, it was a pay-per-view, like, every Sunday, and somebody was like, I'm hosting the show. Come on over, you know, bring some pizza, bring some beer, and we're going to watch the show. And now, my friends today, they may watch it, like, once a month or something. You say, oh, boy, that John Cena is pretty boring, isn't he? And it's
well,
just,
and now there's DVR, too, so you can just fast-forward through everything.
It's just amazing to me that, you know, I know there's still wrestling fans. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of wrestling fans out there, and they still love wrestling. I think to a larger degree, the high concentrated, I mean, look at the ratings today. I mean, you know, back in the 90s, you know, ECW was doing good ratings. WCW was doing really good ratings. Obviously, WWF and the Monday Night War era. And today, the ratings are pathetic. And yet, some people say, oh, that's, well, Raw does a 3.0. That's a good rating. That's not bad rating. Okay, it's great, but, I mean, they used to do 6 ratings, they used to do 7 ratings, they used to do 8 ratings, and it's just not the same anymore. I don't know. Obviously, you don't watch WWE. You know, some people were saying that, you know, the Attitude Era, the DX Era, was when people really started really liking wrestling, and they were really into it. And today, obviously, they go with the PG theme. Do you think that PG theme really hurts their product overall? Is that the reason that they are losing a lot of viewership?
I don't know. I mean, I think I since I don't watch it, I can't really say, you know, if I noticed, you know, a big change since that's happened. But I mean, I think the whole idea is ridiculous. I mean, you're grown people beating each other up. That's just not PG to begin with. I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think it would be good if they had, you know, competition. That's when I remember things being really great, you know, when there are multiple companies to watch and, oh my God, who are we going to watch this Monday night? And, you know, it's just Vince, really. Nobody else can really compete. And I think that's a bummer. You know, I think if there were more options out there, people would be pushing themselves and doing different things. And, you know, it'd be interesting if somebody else could kind of step up and compete a little bit.
Of course, you were with Ring of Honor and Shimmer. Did you ever, like, have any feelers with TNA or WWE? Did they ever extend, come in for a tryout? Or did you have any opportunities with either company?
I did have a couple opportunities, and I turned them all down. they all came really when I was kind of thinking about, you know, really getting out of the business and was dealing with this transition in my life. And I was dating Austin Aries for a really long time, and we were kind of moving in separate directions, and that was a really hard thing, and I was just, you know, I was done. I wasn't interested, and I just couldn't, it didn't seem fun anymore, you know. I watched so many of my friends get jobs, and none of them had fun. Like, they were all they did was bitch about their jobs all the time, even though you're making money. You're still bitching, and, you know, I don't really care if I make money if I'm unhappy, you know. So I got to see some people around me, and not to say that everybody's like that, but it's just, it's not for me, and it wasn't at the right time. And maybe if it had been earlier in my quote unquote career, it would have been different, but I just couldn't do it at that point.
Now, I know you don't watch wrestling today, but obviously I'm sure you've heard that, you know, Austin Aries is the TNA champion. So just thought
I did,
that maybe
I
him
did watch his
finally
match.
Getting his due, right?
I did watch his match. I did make an effort to do that. So that's the most wrestling I've watched in the last couple of years was him winning the belt. So.
And I'm sure you're happy for him to finally get his opportunity to be a world champ.
I really can't even explain how happy I am for him. It's just, you know, he was really going to quit wrestling too. And, you know, for him to stick with it. I mean, he was so close just months before that, and he was going to be done. And, you know, now things are working out great for him. And I really couldn't be happier.
I'm glad he stuck with it, because I always thought he was one that, I remember when he was with TNA originally, and he was with Roderick Strong there, that he had it then, and it's just like they just overlooked him. And then, as you said, he kind of bounced around, and he was thinking about leaving. I remember he did a YouTube shoot saying, you know, this might be the end for me. You know, I've busted my ass in this business, and look where I am. And then he got back to TNA, and they finally gave him a push, and they finally gave him the championship. So I'm glad that he got to live his dream, that he is one of the more refreshing and entertaining things in wrestling today. I'm probably with you guys in that I don't find today's wrestling to be all that exciting. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's just the PG thing. I just don't think they create interesting characters anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think their storylines are engaging anymore. The PG thing definitely doesn't help them. I can't say it's the reason they're losing popularity. And that at the same time, you look at WWE's business model, and they're still making more money. Of course, that means they have more revenue streams. But, you know, at the same time, it's just not the wrestling that we've been used to seeing. And obviously, you know, Ring of Honor has always been built on, you know, work rate and busting your butt in the ring. And then, you know, Austin Aries is a, you know, prime example of that. You know, you have Samoa mm-hmm. Joe and all those Ring of Honor guys that, I mean, look at what Ring of Honor is today. You got CM Punk as the WWE champion, and you have, for a while, they had Daniel Bryan, who Bryan Danielson was the SmackDown champion. So it's amazing that sometimes we poo-poo Ring of Honor and saying, you know, well, they're just that little company in Philadelphia or whatever. And yet today, they're very prominent stars in wrestling. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah,
it is. It does make me kind of want to watch wrestling for a minute just to see that all these people that, you know, I started kind of wrestling with, and all these people that I kind of grew up in the business with are all doing so well for themselves. And it's great, you know, it does make me kind of want to watch it. But then I hear things that, oh, wrestling, it sucks, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch it then. I don't have TV anyway, so it's really, I have to go out of my way to watch it. And I go out of my way to watch, like, Weeds and Doctor Who and Dexter and those kinds of things, you know, Breaking Bad.
We got to be entertained somehow, you know. With wrestling, I can do it for you. Who is your all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh, well, that would have to be Jake the Snake.
Okay. Good choice.
And I'm closely followed by Jesse Ventura.
Ooh, Jesse the Body. All right. What were you like in high school? Were you athletic? And when did you – obviously you said you started at 16. When did you really – well, I guess what really grabbed you into deciding to go into wrestling at that time?
Well, my whole life, I actually grew up as a dancer. I was a ballet dancer. And as I was getting into my later teenage years, I kind of was starting to realize that this probably wasn't going to be a career for me either. And when you're a ballet dancer, you don't necessarily do it for fun. You're going to really do it, and you're going to perform, or can't do it for fun. But I was at that point where it was a huge part of my life, and I was going to do it and make, you know, a career out of it, or try to. But my body's not built for that. So I left one career that injured my body for a different one. But I grew up around wrestling. My dad was friends with Eddie Sharkey, who was kind of known for training Road Warriors and some of the Minnesota guys. And I just kind of, he ran shows with Eddie when I was younger. And I'd go and hang out, and then I used to watch wrestling on Monday nights with my dad. And then at that time, when I was a teenager, I kind of actually quit watching wrestling. I kind of got out of it. I was really busy, and Then one day my dad was watching it, and I started watching it with him again, and I was like, Dad, that's really fun. I think I could do that. And sure enough, Eddie Sharkey is still training people in a backyard somewhere in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. So he took me down there, and I decided I was going to quit being a ballerina, and I was going to be a pro wrestler. I don't know. It was kind of just spontaneous, and I thought it was great. You know, it was kind of a combination of theater and athleticism, and it just looked, at that time too, there's so many more women now. It's mind boggling. There's nobody like when I started. So I was like, well, why aren't there more girls? Like, why can't I do that? I can do this. Like, fun, you know? So now it's a totally different landscape, but.
Does Eddie Sharkey still train today?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I don't know what he's doing. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. He runs a couple shows a couple times a year, and that's about all I know, I think.
What was the worst injury you suffered in the ring?
Well, I've been really lucky compared to a lot of people I know. I injured my knee. I dislocated my kneecap, and I didn't tear any tendons bad enough to need them surgically repaired, but they were messed up enough, so I had to take several months off due to that. I got one really bad concussion, and I'm not, the more that I learn and we as a society learn about brain damage and concussions, that's one too many for me. So,
what were some of the highlights of working international? I know you had a chance to work down in Mexico for a while.
I only went there one time. That was another place. I traveled, but I didn't. I don't know. I think I was, like I said, it took me a long time to actually quit wrestling. So it was a slow kind of withdrawal. I mean, I could have gone to Japan, and I just really never had any interest in doing that because I don't want to die. I'm like, oh no, this is pretend. I don't want to get hurt. At that point in my time, anyway, that was my mindset. I was like, no, it's not for me. I don't want to go there. And, Mexico, there was a lot of stuff going on in my life, and I didn't want to take that chunk of time to go down there and do that. But I did go one time and wrestle for a show for Vampiro, and it was super fun. It was great. I'm glad I did it, and it would have been nice to go again, but I didn't want to go for months at a time. It was too much for me at that moment.
That's another dangerous state to be in right now, is Mexico, with all the drug activity, the gangs. You know, we don't protect our border, and so I know some people. You know, go down there and wrestle. I like, you know, like Jennifer Blake from the States here. She goes down there. She pretty much works down there full time. She, you know, takes breaks in between tours and comes back home to Canada. But generally, she's down there most of the time. And I know, you know, you hear about all the violence down there. So that seems like a very dangerous state. And yet, you know, again, in Mexico, wrestling is very popular. And you have AAA, you have the MMA. There's so many independents out there that, you know,
it would be really great, you know. I'm super excited to go move my life somewhere for 3 years and experience a whole different culture, you know. So it'd be great to go down somewhere and spend that much time, and if you're at that place in your life where it's good for you to do that. But I mean, I guess I don't know where they're located, but from talking to Rain and stuff, and she was down there, like, she didn't feel too terribly unsafe. I mean, you can walk out your door here and get hit by a car or something. So danger is all relative, really.
That's for sure. People are scared about flying an airplane, yet you're more likely to be killed in your automobile. You
know, exactly. And I have to fly over the ocean for like 20 hours now. It's kind of scary.
you manage like the likes of BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs, Colt Cabana. Do you have like a favorite subject that you managed to do?
Oh, Jimmy Jacobs.
That was a pretty easy one, huh? Jimmy Jacobs.
Oh, yeah. Don't even have to think about that. I had so much fun with him. I can't even. He was lovely. I adore him.
Is there somebody that you wanted to work with, either wrestle or manage, that you never got a chance to work with?
Well, kinds of people, really, especially now that there's all kinds of girls. I actually went to the last Shimmer taping just to hang out, and I have other friends down in Chicago, so it's hanging out. And I went to part of the, not the whole taping, but part of them. And I'm like, who are these? I don't know anybody here. I know like half the girls here. So there's all kinds of amazing women out there now I would love to work with. So, I mean, I don't know. That's too big of a question to answer. There's a lot of people out there.
What did you think of Sarah Del Rey signing with WWE?
That's awesome for her. I love Sarah. So I hope she... I hope she enjoys herself and makes good money, and I don't know. I mean, she deserves anybody. She's pretty. She's one of my favorite people to work with. I really, really love her.
What would you say your career highlight? What's your favorite moment in wrestling?
Oh geez. I don't know. I really, really loved getting to work in Shimmer with Brain and Jetta and just all the ridiculous shenanigans that we got to have there. We just, you know, we really wanted to have fun. And that's at that point in my career, that's what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to have fun. And it was a great, great time. And I mean, getting the opportunity to travel to Europe was really wonderful for me too. I'd say that was a pretty big highlight for me personally. It was really great to do that.
What was your thoughts on the Wrestlelicious project?
Oh, Wrestlelicious. It is hilarious. I mean, it was that's probably almost some of the most fun I've ever had wrestling too, actually. Getting to dress up like a crazy voodoo lady, and you're gonna pay me to do that? Okay, that's fine. I think the whole concept is completely flawed and it will never work, but bless them for trying.
I guess, what's your overall thoughts on, you know, obviously you're talking about, you know, Shine as a new, you know, women's promotion, and of course with Shimmer as an all-women's promotion. What do you think in general as a business model to push just women's wrestling solely as a product?
That's a really tough question, because women's wrestling fans are an interesting group of people. And I just don't think there's that many of them out there that aren't in it for other reasons. And it's just so hard to promote women's wrestling without it being fetishized in some way because, you know, everything, you can make anything like into a fetish. But it's really a hard thing to do, I think, with our culture and our society and how women are just looked at in general. It's tough. I don't really know. I don't have any good answers for that. And I don't know if it's something I would ever try running. So it's too difficult.
Well, I know now you're really kind of distancing yourself from wrestling, but if there was, you know, people will listen to this interview and there'll be a few that maybe will have aspirations of getting into wrestling. What would you say to somebody that says, hey, you know, I'm 18, I'm 19, I'm kind of interested in getting into wrestling. What kind of advice would you give a youngster today?
I would say don't do it. Really, truthfully, that's exactly what I would say. But I mean, if you want to do it, then you need to get trained by someone reputable and hopefully somewhere that there's a female as well. And I mean, I credit Eddie Sharkey with a lot. I mean, he sat in his lawn chair and had replaced hips, so he didn't actually ever really physically show you how to do anything in wrestling, but he did teach me so much about being a female in the business and being able to take care of myself, which I just didn't. I was very young and naive when I started, and it just didn't occur to me that it would be different for a woman. I was just stupid. It just didn't occur to me. Why can't we all just get along and be on the same playing field? And I found out very quickly that it's pretty tough. So he did a really good job kind of making sure I knew how to take care of myself. So I think I had a pretty good head on my shoulders throughout, and that's, I mean, that would really be the most important thing. If you're talking about being a girl in wrestling, you need to find somebody that can really teach you how to take care of yourself.
Do you have any regrets in your career in wrestling?
I'm sure I do. I mean, I suppose now I'm like, oh, it would be great to go to Japan, and, you know, just when things are offered to you at certain times in your life and it's just not the right time, you know, then I guess I'm not one of those people that say everything happens for a reason. That's not necessarily what I believe, but, you know, maybe I didn't go and it wasn't supposed to be at that time in my life. I was busy doing other things, so it would have been nice to do those things, but I'm going to be just like a two-hour flight away from Japan now, and my good friend Kelly Skater is spending a lot of time there, so and I met some people at the school in China that were Japanese and big wrestling fans. They were very excited. Actually, after I got home, I mailed them some Dragon Gate t-shirts that I had, and it was they knew all kinds. They knew who Chris Hero was. They knew all these people that had been over to Japan, and so I promised them that I would take them to a show sometime. So I will go to Japan and see some wrestling someday.
Cool. Okay, what's the meaning of your tattoos then?
So the first tattoo I ever got, I got with Rain. We have a matching one, and it is our astrological signs. I'm a Taurus and she's a Virgo. And then I'm full of matching tattoos, no individuality here. I have another matching tattoo that I got with Rain and Jet-A. Jet-A picked out the design, and I just said, slap it on my leg. Then I have another tattoo that actually is my own personal, no other friends of mine have it, but it's kind of a tribute to Marilyn Manson. He's my favorite musician. And then I have another tattoo that is my most recent one that is another matching tattoo with one of my best dear friends, Robert. So they all remind me of, somebody that I love pretty much. So, but the idea is to keep, I'm going to do a leg sleeve. The original, no arm sleeves, I want to let you.
You and Rain, both Earth signs, and right? Taurus and Virgo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap with you here, go ahead and plug your Facebook and your Twitter, and how can fans that are listening to this interview get a hold of you?
It's twatter. Don't call it Twitter in my presence, twatter. Apparently Kathy Griffin's been doing this forever now, and I don't really ever watch anything that she's on, but I watched a stand-up thing she did, and she's all about the twatter, and I'm like, that's my thing. It's my shtick. That's all I call it. Kathy Griffin.
She stole it from you.
She totally stole it from me.
Plagiarist.
Right, exactly. Anyway, go on.
can you go ahead and plug your social media?
So my twatter is, what is it? Oh my God, it's LaceXFace, I believe. And then my Facebook is probably facebook.com/thelovelylacy. I'm really bad at this. I don't know. I think that's what it is. I hope.
I think you're right. LaceXFace. And I think if you do just a search for Lovely Lacy, you'll come up. So if people are looking for you, check you out and want to check out your pictures and what's going on with you on social media. So, I feel fortunate we got a chance to talk. I've been trying to track you down, and next week you're leaving for China.
I am. One more week. Countdown is on. It's the final countdown.
Well, we wish you all the best of luck, and hope everything works out for you in China and your future studies. And to use a wrestling cliche, we wish you all the best in future endeavors.
Thank you so much.